Everyone, I am Maritess Bott of Bott and Associates. Thank you so much for watching our podcast or listening to our podcast, of course. Today's topic is going to be called Couples, Money, and Retirement. So it's actually an article that I was just reading in Fox Business News, and it's actually citing a particular survey done by Ameriprise with that same name. So Couples, Money, and Retirement. And basically, they took 1,500 American couples. They have about $100,000 or more in investable assets, and they're about ages 45 to 70. So some people in the survey have already retired. Some people are thinking about retirement or about to retire. So certainly, a lot of you viewers and listeners fall in this category. So I wanted to cite a few things which I thought were quite interesting. The name of the article is called Majority of US Couples Do Not Have an Estate Plan. So of course that perks up my eyes because it's talking about estate planning in my world. So what the article says is most couples actually share the same retirement goals. You know, they have like goals that they set out to do, where I'm going to retire at 65, 67, or even earlier, whatever that might be. And the survey says that 95% of the couples actually agree and are transparent with their finances. So that's good. That's pretty high there, 95%. They also cite that 91% of these couples share financial value. So the value of what, you know, how to make and earn money and save money and things like that, very important. And obviously, before you get married, you should probably check to make sure that your would-be spouse or new spouse also has that same value as you. A couple other statistics that I thought was very interesting was 24% of these couples don't really agree about how much to save and how much to spend on their children or their grandchildren. Okay. And I can only attribute that to maybe as you're getting older, you have some maybe things on your bucket list that you want to do, or you have children maybe that are needing some financial help. And I see couples in my office who might be, one is more inclined to help that child, one is more inclined to say, no, let them learn, let them do what they need to do. So I've seen both, but I've also seen the drastic side of that. So in terms of, I've seen couples who have, and let's face it, it's the word of enabled their children up until 30s, 40s, 50s, so that the kids basically rely on them 100% because they can't keep a job, right? There's a negative to giving too much money to those children. And then I've seen the other side where they give nothing, and I've seen their kids typically end up not necessarily being, you know, super high earners or super wealthy, but they are independent because the parents have kind of let go of that responsibility and the kids have found their way. So I talked to many, many, many couples, many, many, many people in general. It doesn't have to be couples. So I asked them, what is the value of money to you? What is it? How is it? How important is it to you for your loved ones, your kids, your grandkids, or even just nieces, nephews, for them to, let's say, appreciate the inheritance that you're giving them? How important is that, right? So those are questions to be discussed at the conversation, the consultation that you have with me as your estate planning attorney. So the biggest number that I took out of this article is, what is the percentage of people that don't have an estate plan? So you recall there was 1,500 couples that were being surveyed. So the actual percentage is 52%. That's not very, very high, right? 50% have no estate planning. So that means only 48% have an estate plan. In my world, that means we have to educate more. We need to get people to really understand why this is important. And certainly this type of article, which is out in mainstream media, I'm hoping people read it. People like really kind of take it to heart and say, okay, we have all these values and conversations about money, let's now take it to the next level of what does this money mean to us and what is the legacy that we want to leave to our kids, grandkids, and future generations. Okay, so what does the article say after citing all of these statistics? Well, they have four recommendations, which I completely agree with. Number one is just don't be intimidated by this topic. Certainly this topic is can be misunderstood, right? Oh, I only need a will. I don't need anything more than that. Or I'll just do my will online, or I only have to go to my other attorney who did my real estate closing and he can do just a basic will for me. But sometimes those are not the right choices for you. So I would say, just don't be intimidated by it. Find somebody that can help you understand this topic a little bit more. Certainly educate yourself. If you are watching this, feel free to call our office and we can certainly send you a link to a video so you could at least wrap your arms around this topic a little bit better so you can understand it. Okay. Number two is their recommendation. Again, this article says engage professionals. I can't tell you how many times I've seen homemade wills that go wrong. Homemade wills where the judge is looking at me like, counselor, what? This will was not properly, no, you know, properly signed, properly having all the specific language that needs to have, that we need to have a will. And we've had wills that were never accepted or entered in as a will because the judge is not accepting it. So important to engage professionals that will absolutely do it right, make sure it's actually going to be your wishes being carried out as opposed to you signing something random so that you could have something written down, but then it never actually gets followed. Okay. Number three, I kind of like this recommendation. It's just a comment. It says, once you've completed your estate plan, be proud of yourself. Okay. I call it adulting, as many people use that word as a verb. So whether you're only 22, 25, creating your first will, or even 60, 65, 70, doing your first will or your second or third reiteration of your will, it's a great moment. It's a great moment to say, okay, I did it. I established my legacy and I did what I need to do. So when you've completed it, not only created the will and trust, but also actually transferred assets to your trust, gotten everything connected to your trust, that's when you say, great job. Congratulations. I'm always trying to give, all of my clients a big, just cheering on that they did something very important for themselves, for their families, and future generations. Okay. Number four recommendation that they offered is called just revisit your estate plan every 5 years. And then sometimes if there's more life events, you can certainly go more frequently. I'm a big fan of that. This is not a set it and forget it. Okay. Every 3 years in our office, our clients will get a reminder to go ahead and take a look at what their estate plan is all about because they might have changed jobs. Maybe there's some things they have to adjust when it comes to funding the trust. Perhaps they have a new grandchild they want to set up an education trust for. Perhaps one child is going through not necessarily a divorce, but maybe a separation, worried about that couple, what's going to happen to them. Will the money go accidentally to my future ex-son-in-law or future ex-daughter-in-law, whoever that might be? So those are the recommendations created by this this article. So take a look at that article. And I think it's important. So don't be intimidated by estate planning. Engage professionals. Be proud of doing it finally. And then of course, check it out every few years. So 3 to 5 years, take a look at that. I do want to address a couple common questions that kind of came up in my head as I was reading this article. And they're very common questions that, you know, people bring up when they do come into our office. So one of them is, should I tell my children about their inheritance? That's a big question. And is it really important for them to know detail? I would say when you're still younger and not necessarily, facing any challenges health-wise. Maybe you're in your 50s, 60s, or 70s, you've created your estate plan. I would say you don't have to tell them all the details. You could say, yes, you have, we've done all right with our lives. You're going to get an inheritance. It's all laid out here. If you have questions about anything when I die, go to my lawyer, right? Go talk to this person, go to my advisor, whoever that might be, and they'll be able to provide that detail for them. But in terms of giving them like the full, like, here's what I own, here's what you're getting, there's a lot of downsides to that, right? So one is you change your mind, right? You might want to give something different. And now you got to tell them, well, I changed my mind, and it might be awkward. Okay. You also might not want to give them the idea that they're going to be fully set up when and if they get their inheritance, right? I think most clients want to have their children to be very ambitious, have their own lives, have their own goals. And by telling them, by the way, you're going to probably inherit X when we die, I think that might put something in their head. Okay. So in my head, like when you're younger, I wouldn't give too much detail. When you're older, when clients are probably in their 80s and 90s, it's okay at that point because the likelihood of you changing it is probably less. And if you want to give them the heads up and also prevent any fighting, that's really the big thing. The more you can tell them, I think it's fine, the better. But not necessarily in the beginning because you get, again, you might change your mind. Number two. A lot of people ask me this question: should I leave my children all the money in lump sum? Like, you pass away and here's your money, good luck, right? And even though you might tell me that you trust your children, that's great. That means that you certainly had raised them in a way that you trust them. It's not about trusting them. It's not. It's about unexpected circumstances in their lives that can happen after you are gone. And what I mean by that is if they're in a relationship and they're married, what if they get divorced? Or they lose their job and now they're spiraling when it comes to money, and now they have to file bankruptcy. Or creditors are coming after them. Or they get into a car accident and there's a wrongful death lawsuit against them, and now how do we protect their inheritance? Okay. And last is, what if your child happens to have a sad medical situation happen where they are now disabled? Maybe they have to get disability, they might have to get on Medicaid, and you'd hate for them to receive their inheritance and get kicked off of that benefit. That's a special needs situation. So all of those circumstances, you can't determine today while your kids are perfectly healthy and fine. You don't know until that happens, and you may not be here when that time comes. So lump sum sounds great, but if we can protect from those situations, why not? They can still have the money, they can still have access to it, but we can protect them from all those unforeseeable circumstances. Okay. Last common question I say, should I specifically disinherit my in-laws or maybe even future in-laws? What I mean by that is you may not particularly have a good relationship with your daughter-in-law, your son-in-law, and you might be wanting to put in, no way is John Doe getting it, my son-in-law, because you're not too keen on him. Should you specifically say that? You can, that's certainly an option, or we can certainly make sure that your son-in-law or your daughter-in-law, anybody who's there, will not get it based on your instruction. So it's something to consider when we have that planning conversation. Let's figure out who gets this money, who doesn't get this money, and make sure we put the guardrails so that they don't get unexpectedly going to that person. Okay. So that's it. I know that that's a lot of information. The big thing of this podcast is 52% Americans in the survey had no documents, no estate plan. Don't let that happen to you, because the default will always go unexpectedly to the wrong people, whether it's the state, the courthouse, the IRS, unexpected children you wanted to disinherit, whoever that might be. Just make sure you write your wishes down. It's so much better than the alternative. Once again, I'm Meritas Bot. Please feel free to call us or check out our website and look up the upcoming events. We're doing some seminars this year, so please take a look at our website for the next seminars. Have a great day. We'll talk soon.